The mental landscape of climax, release, sexual frustration, urges and banked fires within the body that wait to flare up at the right stimulation. That's the topic for today, so fixate on it for me. There are particular trends, particular patterns in how you experience arousal and the need for release. They all boil down to fooling your body, or, really, convincing it something really happened. But what's real, anyway? There are mechanisms inside your body, made of chemicals and electricity, wired to parts of your brain, that are capable of inducing changes in the body's state, in the mind's condition. Arousal. The horny desire for climactic sexual satisfaction is one of these. You have an urge within, and as arousal builds, it lights the fires and lets them blaze through your system in white, hot, searching, seeking, insistent pleasure. But the other pleasure we enjoy is the game. The method by which we set conditions for our pursuit of arousal and climax, the way in which we sink, drift, experience everything, down to the core of us, resonating, building, and eventually we bank the fires, we store the furnace and turn down our arousal, because we experience something climactic and shuddering and shivering and exquisite. It makes us feel like, we're satisfied. But these connected urges are more than just the need to get off. There's other parts of you, other parts of the system that could do with a good satisfactory stimulation. And if you involve them along with your climactic, spasming, mind-blowing orgasm, then it'll be better than if you just focused on one part, than if you took a part in isolation. Focusing too heavily on the goal, the objective, can lead to forgetting these other contributory sensations. Sexual satisfaction isn't just about that moment of spasming release in which your body's muscles relax and pulsing pleasure chemicals flow from their reservoirs into the main portion of your brain, into the rest of your body. But it is partly about that. There's also the sensual time spent exploring your own erogenous zones, your own fantasies. The thing it turns you on to feel may be quite different from the direct stimulation between your legs, and getting good and amped up is what takes you to a place beyond that edge, beyond the mere release, and into the fulfillment of an empty void you didn't know you really felt, but which masturbation can fulfill, satisfy, and quell, but never completely use. Yes, this is about using your own aroused, horny state to leapfrog beyond your normal boundaries and explore an altered state of mind that comes from really needing it, body and spirit, craving a climax you're not sure if you've been denied, but that you, with your resolve, know you will obtain if you just keep going. And maybe some rules for the game, the sexual play underlying, would be that the first time or the second time you come, the memory of it slips out of your mind, dripping with lust, and leaves you still stimulating yourself, still seeking, because you need it. Because you need to wait as long as it takes to get another slow-building, hot-burning, mind-blowing, orgasmic release into your memory. even as your hands move and your body pushes up against them to remind you how much you want it, following the same motions you do on your own, but here assisted by little games of logic and enhancements of thought, fantasy, need, desire, ache, lust, continuous movement, automatic, almost mechanical, very insistent, constant, but acceptably slow, so that you don't strain or hurt yourself on what may become a very long journey of masturbation, of pleasuring and stimulating, emulating the movements you'd make on your own, have made on your own, but instead adding the spice of the game, exploring letting certain memories slip away. It's a little weird, a little fun, a little silly, and incredibly arousing to need to come just one more time, because the memory of the first time faded hotly away. Arousal, that desire for climactic sexual satisfaction, is one of the things which induces change in the state of your body. But sensual time spent exploring your body, the things that it turns you on to feel, a lover's warm form against yours, but also the build-up, the way that spending a longer time to arrive at orgasm. A longer time makes it feel better when you topple over the edge. Plus, if you've just experienced climax, then making yourself come again a short time after means you'll be extra sensitive. The furnace at the center of being having been stoked very high, and you not realizing that you could let it die down if you wanted to, because you want more. Sometimes you can stimulate yourself right to the limit of your ability to even bear the sensation. That's why it can sometimes be beneficial if the fire of arousal were to not die down after just one climax. And, of course, arousal is a demand, a request from your body that comes insistent and hot. You could always do with even more satisfaction. Your body demands something. That's what being turned on is. Your body wants something. Your mind fogs and thinks about sex, satisfaction, thinks things that this biological machine is programmed to think and want. Your brain takes memories and fantasies that have been tagged with specific associations and funnels them into the forefront of your cognition. This continues until climax arrives, the mounting head of fantasy, or the stimulation of your body, by yourself or trusted others. And once you've satisfied enough, your mind tends to clear, as your body is convinced it can stop pushing the biological imperative to achieve sexual completion. But we often fool the body. We satisfy ourselves with our own hands, or we do things which will convince us that sufficient sexual activity has taken place for us to relax, to quiet the chemical lust imposed by the waiting, horny mind. And because of this, we're often satisfied and clear-headed enough to, after just one climax, move on, to carry on, to let the fires of arousal fade down. That's about fooling the body. But in keeping with the theme of a game of pleasure you might play, what if you and I agreed to fool the mind instead, in the other direction, to convince you that just one climax is almost never enough? Well, that's hard to do. After all, orgasm suffuses the body, makes the nerves twitch, and so you have some normal number of climaxes for you, some level you go to, before you're satisfied enough that you can choose to stop or continue and still feel at peace. The mind unfocuses, the body spasms, and sends constant pleasure signals resonating down your spine, an intense need centered between your legs, in your stomach, in your clenched buttocks, in your soothed musculature. Such an intrinsically satisfying thing is a climax, that of course your body is convinced to stop making you horny. When you often feel drained, little aftershocks spreading, a warm glow in your belly as you relax afterward, remembering how it felt for a little while, once the act is complete. Such a satisfying thing that it would be tough to persuade yourself you need to keep going and going and going. You have a point you reach. Maybe your normal is even a bunch of them in a row. But there's still some point where you're satiated. But what if the last orgasm was always as pleasurable as the first because the memory of them kept slipping away? And you thought you'd merely been edging. Isn't that quite a game? In this deep meditative place, there are things we can do to alter the anchors and connections of your normal sexual response to climax, and change things to be a bit more titillating and extended for you. When you try to get off, if you think maybe satisfaction has been coming to you a bit too easily, or that it can be fun to wait even if it's torment, there are ways to extend the ordeal, or else to end up pent up and horny more of your time. Time spent turned on, desperately seeking satisfaction. It's actually like a bit of exercise after all. Plus the satisfaction which comes after a long time, edging your way up to release, feels well earned. It is full of more pleasure. It's more of a full body event. Wouldn't you like to explore that more often? If so, let me unwind some thoughts, some intriguing ideas for your waiting mind to take on board. The more persuasive, the more you're tempted, the more it'll enter in and be processed. The basic premise is simple. When you pleasure yourself in order to achieve orgasmic fruition to your urges, to let yourself relax and set aside the aroused demands of body and mind, the memory of a recent orgasm can then slake your thirst. Then you can let your arms fall by your sides and simply relax. Maybe sometimes you'll stimulate yourself a second time when arousal resumes, or even a third. No matter how long you spend building up orgasm and then experiencing shuddering perfection before letting it fade away again, you can enhance the experience if we alter the flow, the procedure by which you dispel lingering arousal and achieve satisfaction. How can it be modified to be yet more wonderful and fulfilling, yet more productive on your journey toward the completion and improvement of the viewed self? Simple. We allow things to drift away. Certain things, carried away on memory like dream. The process of self-stimulation, of masturbation toward ascent and climax and spasming release, is already sort of dreamlike after all. Just like this drifting place that you progress toward in the now. Dreamlike. And one quality of dream is a slight sense of haze when it comes to memory some of the time. Sometimes you remember vividly. Recalling the general sensation and general feeling of a dream is typically easy. Other parts, like the specifics, may only come to you later, or it may be more difficult. But we know that what we think about before we go and drift can influence our dreams, influence our sensations as we drift away. And we can remember a dream was good even when the specifics slip away, like water running slowly out of your cupped palm. memory drifting away is a fairly normal thing. Our mind always runs a variety of threads at the same time. The important versus the immediate. The ache versus its satisfaction. The thing we don't want to do versus the one we crave. The conversation we want to keep having, tempting us. We prioritize and sort threads. We find the one we're going to focus on. Maybe we focus on one thing 10% and the other 90%. Our mind's runtime diverted to focus on something we like more. And all the other threads fall away. But masturbation, self-stimulation, is a little different. It's a focusing mechanism. Your body is built to focus on that stimulation. Once you get comfy enough to really begin enjoying yourself, you know you zone out a bit. Your whole body is chemically and electrically wired to tune out everything except the pleasured thrum of self-stimulation, the pleasured thrum of constant need, the pleasured thrum of your waiting mind. As you begin to ascend to an erotic plateau, your thoughts simplify. The insistent shivering heat of your own form, implying what action you should take next. That action being to seek pleasure. Pursue climax. Let the needy hunger building in your skin and muscles and between your legs and in the spark and thrum of your focused mind. Let that hunger find satisfaction. That's what your body and your mind will want you to do once you get close enough to climax. And now you have the image framed, the idea settled in your mind. Thoughts can drift away when you're pursuing climax, and the mind is more dreamlike as you stimulate yourself toward that destination. So lay out the scenario. See yourself in your mind's eye, as though distant, watching, but able to feel every little stimulation, all the more acutely due to the detached nature of your position. You see how turned on you are, your skin alive with goosebumps, shivers running through you. You know that shortly, even if you climax, even if you achieve release, the memory may fade away dreamlike and leave you seeking the next to fill an emptiness that remains, that pervades. You feel every stimulation. Perhaps these very words presented now, playing through the mind of the version of you you can see. You remember them then, and they fuel your pursuit of pleasure. Look at your hands moving, seeking stimulation, and indeed, maybe you'll find that with these words ringing in your mind, it's a little more sensual to just caress your skin, explore yourself, exist in that suspended state, to let as much arousal flow into you as possible before you begin to touch in earnest. But of course, you know our objective here is to let you become hornier, more turned on, more viscerally aroused than ever before. So just stimulating yourself, edging, approaching slowly and tenderly, is not enough. See your body as its muscles. See it as the spark and flow of electricity tripping gates and diverting your mind. See only the sexual systems which exist and are engaged when you turn the key, beginning to stimulate yourself however you may do it, on any given occasion. Wherever you imagine, you shift yourself from one mode to another, from one type of consciousness to a different one, an altered state like deep, restful trance. And this state grows stronger from moment to moment, leaving you feeling like you need to get off. The closer you get to coming, to orgasm, to climax, to the spasming release of every muscle and care, the more you need it. The more disappointed you'd be if you didn't get off. The more sure you are to keep pursuing what can, after all, be achieved with a slow ratcheting of pleasure. And if it can't, you get the fun being a little bit on edge and frustrated sexually until you do achieve a memorable climax. You get close and you need it. Unless you're edging to work yourself up more, you are going in with a specific goal in mind, to fill an empty void of need, and that goal draws you like the needle of a compass, a magnet pull, making you stimulate yourself in slow, ramping, pleasurable, drawn-out experiences, causing the chemical event and mental relief of a sexual release with its attendant physiological phenomena. It's a great feeling. Echo it now in your mind. Remember the deep-down good sensation, the clenching of some muscles between your legs, but also throughout the rest of your body. Perhaps your toes curl if it's really good, or your hips thrust involuntarily, or you let your mouth hang open and grunt and groan, moan, with the sheer, pure, deep-down goodness of it all. However it may be, for you, you have that image, the release. You seek it when your mind self-stimulates, when your body forces sensation in a good way. You've framed it in your mind, elevated that feeling of climax, made it the focus of our discourse here. Now let's change a tiny thing about it, another rule for our shared game. Think of the moment of orgasm. Your body spasms, it reacts, relaxes, experiences a release, an event. Everything is right and good, and your mind rewards you with white-hot sparks of pleasure, chemical evaluation causing release for doing the right kind of thing, perpetuating a sexual urge within yourself, meeting a requirement you had due to your arousal, to let you think clearly and act normally for yourself, and de-stressing you in the process, your muscles, your mind, dispelling horny tension. Now, instead of focusing on the moment when you come, the moment when you get off, focus on a time you almost came. Think of that idea of getting right to the edge of climax and ceasing. Envision how frustrated that would make you, but it would just make any that came later even better as well. The thing is, once you orgasm, your body winds down. If it's the one you've decided will be the last one for your current session of pleasuring, filling that empty void. When you go down from your plateau, albeit slowly, you gradually return to normal. And at that time, all that remains to remind you you got off will be the memory of the spasms of release, the goosebumps on your skin, the electric pleasure that resonated from your brain to your toes. But that was an event, and if it slipped away as soon as it happened, you might think you'd only edged, and pursue a little further, slowly and gently and safely, but definitely and powerfully as well. What if you forgot? Visualize it. See your body. You're working toward orgasm, sure. You feel the spasm, the echo of pleasure approaching. And then it arrives. Your whole body shivers. You lose yourself in sensation. You moan. Perhaps your eyes roll back. Perhaps you buck and groan and let everything about yourself be consumed in the pleasure of that momentary climactic escape. And then visualize yourself at that moment, right after, wondering why you stopped pleasuring, wondering why you didn't keep going until you came. The fresh memory of having just come, having slipped from your mind. And your libido, your lust, your horny form equally turned on, since the memory of climax did not remain, despite you feeling pretty damn good, and knowing the next one will be even better. no reassurance that you climaxed if it slipped away, like water from the palm of your hand. You're then still sweated, still shivery and tense, and since the memory of that orgasm has slid away, you aren't sure if it's okay to be relieved. Your arousal might come back, or never leave. If you forgot your climax as soon as it passed, it might leave you doubting whether you need to go again or not. Whether you orgasmed or merely exhausted yourself in the edging, leaving you pent up, the memory of climax vanishing from your mind most of the time. And so you go again. It won't happen every time. Some orgasms will be particularly memorable. And the more times you've forgotten, the more worked up you'll be when you next stimulate to try and get the orgasm you've been trying to keep in your mind all day. Imagine if you had to go 2 or 3 times to be sure you came. Wouldn't the total satisfaction of the final, remembered, splendid, fulfilling orgasm release be that much greater? Wouldn't each of the quote-unquote edging sessions, which were really orgasms, contribute to the overall intensity of the final? And if you're drifting into something like trance, something like dream, a place where memory fades if you're not exactly focused on it, well, the place where you are most unfocused is in the throes of orgasm. Isn't that ironic? The way you get hazy and vacant and come in pleasure, being used as a vector to make you forget that very enjoyment when you orgasm. That's the mechanism by which your mind will forget that you just came, draining away, leaving you wondering, do you still need to come? And if you try to move on with no memory in your mind, no memory of the climax you wanted, mightn't you find yourself seeking it again? The arousal staying inside of you, hot and throbbing, a link between the desire you felt, the way you stimulated yourself, and the faded void where the memory could be, leaving you empty. Even more important, if you stimulate yourself and orgasm, and the memory drifts away, then when you bring yourself off a second time, it'll be even more satisfying, since your mind will know you'd been missing something, and you'd already been in that mode. And there it is, memorable and perfect. Every orgasmic, spasming, satisfying, wonderful sensation makes the next one better. And better. Until eventually, you have one so memorable that you're having more satisfying masturbatory experiences as you forget the little orgasms and remember the one big climax at the end. So your mind ends up thinking you came just once, but so much, as if your first orgasm of an uncommonly long stimulation session were also the most intense because of how long it took you to wind up to it. So good. Maybe even the second orgasm of each session will be forgotten. Something like that, so you end up stimulating yourself, letting them slip away until you really need one, so you have an unusually satisfying climax. You might wonder why it was so good, but it's simply the result of edging, or maybe the result of having forgotten the real deal. Never sure if you've orgasmed, so yearning for the next one, knowing you'll remember some, hoping you'll remember it because you've got that faint feeling it's been a bit since you really got off good. But the most memorable climaxes will always be remembered, those really powerful ones that you need to retain will stay. And every now and then, of course, you'll remember another one too, or another, retaining the memory of pleasure. Maybe they'll flow back to you like dreams later, but in the throes of self-pleasure, they'll fade. It'll be so much better because all the little ones forgotten make the big ones so much better, dripping away in your mind to be lost to the ether until you get to one of those big ones too important that gets preserved and held. Knowing you need to make up for all the ones you've missed in your memory. You fill your mind up, nourish your libido. You win the game by making your own orgasm incredibly potent in sacrificing the memory of the little ones. The smarter play. If you keep forgetting, you'll stay turned on and horny and needy, It'll be so much better when a memorable one gets kept in your memory, keeping the fire of pleasure lit, losing yourself to release, relief, a brief escape before the next cycle of pleasant, relaxing, dreamlike forgetting, never being sure if you really came until the one where you can't doubt it, where it's too good, an orgasm so striking and powerful that you manage to hold it in your memory, and you shiver in the aftershakes all day long with pleasant recollection and a desire to seek the next memorable climax.